Thank you for reading the whole of Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to talk about Pentecost, but I want to get you, ourselves into that situation there on that very day. Let us picture ourselves there. What is Pentecost? I'm not preaching on Pentecost, but Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. And the Passover to this day is still celebrated. It is Pentecost is the feast day. The feast day, the feast of weeks, or the feast of harvest. And Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. But this was a special Passover. Remember that on that significant day of Passover, on the third hour, as the Jews were sacrificing the lambs to celebrate the Passover, remember Moses asked them to mark their doors so the angel of death would pass over. There was one who was hung on the cross, a sacrifice for our sins, for the salvation of mankind, in accordance with the will of the Father. And on that third hour, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished." He was the Passover lamb for all of us. That was a special Passover. On the cross outside the city, he hung there and he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished." 50 days. And he arose. Yes, he arose. And they saw him, as was recorded in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. "And the risen Christ said to them, 'And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.'" These are the words of the risen Christ, the Lamb of God. And again that is said in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'Ye have heard of me.'" And again in chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here in Queen's Park. And that took place on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had ascended. The apostles stayed together and they selected someone called Matthias. And then this day of Pentecost, which we have read, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and were speaking in tongues. And each, everyone understood in their own language. And Peter, whom we read, the rock that Christ would found the first church, he preached the gospel He preached to them. And they were. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day, and they were added unto them 3,000 souls. I have done this because I want to place ourselves in that situation. Did you see the progression of events? And now we come to our text of the first church. Our text of the first church. And they continued in verse 42. They continued from that speech, from that day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. Fellowship means to share things in common. They were together and had all things in common, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The passage remains 3 times that they ate together, they shared meals, they played an important part in the life of the early church. And all they believed were together and had things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They became a community. That's why the topic is so important for us. We are made to be a community, to be a fellowship, to serve people, to share, to build our lives together. We are entrusted to laugh, to praise, to pray, to cry. There's a tendency sometimes to isolate ourselves, to hide from one another. We struggle with conflicting desires. We desire to be on our own, we become suspicious of others' motives. But here they were together. They shared together. But Jesus prayed. He prayed in John 17:22-23, he said, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and love them as thou hast loved me. For this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The barriers came down. The Spirit, Holy Ghost, moved in and produced a wonderful unity among the first group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes the extent of that unity. From the very beginning, they had lived in that glorious oneness. I believe we can capture that oneness. Let us look at our text and see. And I have given you a short memoir here. First of all, they were steadfast. They were steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles and in fellowship. They believed in the truth of the scriptures, the doctrine of the cross. Never let the excitement of anything else, any place, any person, any false doctrine lead you away from the truth of the gospel. This was the gospel. The excitement of renewal or revival. The church is not to drift from one momentary emotion to the next. And they kept together in the apostles' teaching, fellowship. As I said, is relationship between individuals, a common interest. They love each other. They continue to do so. They spoke with each other. They help each other. They were true brothers and sisters in their fellowship in Jesus Christ. And they were steadfast in the breaking of bread, sharing it with one another. It was an agape meal. They were steadfast in prayer, in supplication, in worship. In Acts chapter 4, it says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the unity of the Word of God. There was doctrine, there was fellowship, there was breaking of bread, and there was prayer. They prayed together. In verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Secondly, we look at this early group of believers, this early church. They were in reverential fear. Yes, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Fear not in sense of fear, but awesome of the greatness of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power for salvation, said Paul in Romans. We know the power of the Holy Ghost in building the church. The presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Did not Christ say, and the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you? And they did come upon them. And he did say, I'll send you the Comforter, who shall be with you. But let us go on to the next thing about this church. They were together. First, they were steadfast. They were in reverential fear because they were in awe of the power of God. And they were together. They were together. They shared all things. They fulfilled all things. They were generous because they threw in their property and they sold it to those who were in need. It said that there are two groups of people that share. One are the socialists and one are the Christians. The difference is that the socialist says, all is yours is mine. But the Christians say, all is mine is yours. The believers acted with such a generous spirit that they didn't think about what might be theirs or what would be their own. They looked at the needs of the church and they fulfilled it. For God is a generous God, and He gives us the gifts that we can give and love one another. And not only were they together, they were unified. They were unified. They were one. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. With one accord. A church that is not unified, that is not together, will do things which will be in conflict with one another. It's like rowing a boat. Say four of us row a boat. If each one of us pull in a different way, there will be no movement whatsoever. In fact, we might even sink. They had one mind. They spent time together. When was the last time we shared our meals together? There was a sign of unity, of friendship. They did it with gladness, with sincerity, praising God. This is important, that we do share our lives together. For the way, not only did they come together to worship on Sunday, but they raised the level of worship to being a way of life. And that is what is happening. God lives in the lives of these people. That is what we need to do. Every household is a church. Let us dwell in the house of the Lord and let every life be a way of life, not only in church, in our homes, and in our community. So they were steadfast. They were in reverential fear. They were together. They were united. And lastly, they were in favor with all the people, praising God and having favor with all the people. It seems everyone liked them. Isn't that marvelous? They were so steady, they were so unselfish, they were so unified. Because they love one person, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those that were saved. How marvelous that this church grew to our present day. We went through the letters to the seven churches, we saw how there was persecution, how the risen Christ commended them. He criticized them for their lack of faith, and he gave them remedies. Indeed, God is telling us today, what is your church? What are you doing in your fellowship? Let us therefore look at the expectations from the beginning of this first church, and we ask ourselves, what is our expectation in our fellowship? Let us find out what is God's expectation of our church. First of all, God wants us to be a learning church, to be a learning congregation, continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to a special time of the apostles' teaching. A growing church is a church where members are willing to give up a portion of their time and energy for the study of God's Word. This behavior shows that the study of the Word of God and being a Christian cannot be separated. We should and must study the Word of God, for the Spirit of God lives within us, is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth can be found only in the study of the words of God, for it speaks to us, it's a living word. It will help us to understand what God wants us to do. It will equip us. It will furnish us. It will also teach us the things. It will rebuke us. It will reprove us. As we read in Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly, and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:16. Yes, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another. Secondly, God expects us to be a caring congregation, to be, and they devoted themselves, yes, steadfastly, in fellowship. They continue steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship springs from the word koinonia. It means the idea of being together, of sharing. Because of believers share in something, we should be committed not only to each other, but to the love of God. Despite our difficulties, our differences, a common bond should be the basis of staying together, is the one that our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we have to persevere and not to faint. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sell the possessions and goods and they gave to anyone who had a need. You see, it was here everyone's business to address the difficulties and differences, to meet the need of each and everyone. Let me give you an illustration. There was a man who said he wanted to see what was the condition in heaven and in hell. And it appeared he was taken up to see what was in hell and in heaven. And first they brought him to hell. And there was a big banquet. And everyone was having a meal in that big banquet. But the fork and spoons were 3 feet long. And as much as they tried to take the food which was sumptuous on the table, they couldn't eat it because their spoons and forks were 3 feet long. And they were actually hungry, angry with one another, and frowning. And they were trying to take food from each other. But they couldn't feed themselves because the fork and spoon were 3 foot long. And then he went up to heaven. And there was again the big banquet. And there was also the fork and spoon. They were 3 foot long. But the people were happy. Why? Because they were feeding one another. They were feeding one another with a fork and spoon. This is just an illustration of caring for one another. It's important that our strength is not only our personal ideas, but our common relationship with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. He who had no sin gave of himself for each one of us. A relationship with one another, with God, should be humble. We must be willing to set aside our personal interests and uphold the interests of the fellowship. Every time we come together, let us look to the interests of our fellowship. Thirdly, God wants us to be a worshipping congregation. They continue steadfastly. This is a fellowship expressed in caring for each other in a kind of corporate worship. Although it may suggest a fellowship of the Lord's Supper, and we remember the Lord's Last Supper with his disciples, when he symbolized the giving of the blood, his body, as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Indeed, as we congregate together, we know that Christ, the risen Christ, is here among us. It is joyful, it is reverent, and we worship God because of his graciousness and his love to us. He who loved us before we loved him. Indeed, it is our joy, not only on Sundays, but in every day of our lives, to praise him, to give thanks to him, and to meditate on his word. So he expects us to be a learning congregation, a worshipping congregation, a caring congregation. And lastly, he wants us to be a witnessing congregation. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, after they prayed, the place where they were was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were in one heart and one mind, and no one claimed any of his possessions was his own, and they shared everything. With a great power, the apostles testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Acts is governed by one dominant, overriding, and all-controlling motive. And the motive is the expansion of the faith through the missionary witness and the power of the Holy Ghost. From the earliest believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in that room in Jerusalem, they went out first to the Jews, then to the Samaritans, and then to the Gentiles. Let us, Lord, Lord, to fill us with the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost as witnesses for Him, not only within our fellowship, but also within our community and to the uttermost parts of the earth. For the Lord added that to them daily, such as should be saved. God expects us to be His followers. So let us be a learning congregation. Let us be a worshipping congregation. Let us be a caring congregation. Let us be a witnessing congregation. For we have the power of the Holy Ghost, the risen Christ within us. For He said in John 14:26, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you." John 14:26. The Comforter is here amongst us, within our souls, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you in this living word, the word of God, our Father. Amen.